Welcome to You Down, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Those same thoughts that you think about all the time, you got to be intentional about what those thoughts are. Mm-hmm. So you always find yourself going somewhere to a place maybe that's negative that you don't like. You got to recreate that thought and put it into, where do you want to see yourself?
Yeah.
What is the life that you want to have? Live there in your mind. So when I go somewhere negative, I start singing a song, bitch, you on a beach, you got money. I really am just trying to make my mind intake this good stuff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to
You Down,
a podcast where four funny honeys come together to talk about what's going on in the culture. I'm Shakira Janae Pay.
I'm Mamiya Aforo.
I'm Yasmin Monet Watkins.
And I'm Ashley Holston.
But collectively, we are known as Obama's other daughters.
Don't know. Now you know.
Yeah, you know. You know. You know. And the alchemist Paulo Coelho says, and when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. And today we're asking, are you down to chase your dreams? We all have those dreams, those visions, the passion, that inner pull that guides us if we listen. Especially in a town like LA, almost every person you meet has some sort of aspiration for the entertainment industry, but it extends beyond that. We all have that urge. But how many people actually make it? And what does it take to get there? No matter where we are in the world, your dreams matter. How do you take care of yourself in the process of that pursuit, though? Today, we're discussing chasing dreams. But first, what y'all loving? What you hating this week?
This week, I am loving numerology. I found it probably 2 years ago, and I dabble in and out of it. You know, I use the tools that serve me in the time. But I have just been feeling just a little like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? And I looked up my personal year. I'm like, okay, what year am I in? And I found out what year I was in, and it really helped me feel like, okay, this makes sense now. This is a year of being emotional, of digging into connections, of a lot of introspection. And so it just made sense why I'm being moody and why, where I'm at. And so I just love astrology for that reason, too. Just tools that can help you feel like shit makes sense.
Right?
I love that. When you say where you're at, can you go a little deeper into how numerology does that?
I mean, it gets so deep. So there are different numbers that you have. Your name is a number. Your birthday plus the year you were born is a number. But there are numbers that make a difference day to day, like your life path. Mamiya and Yasmin are three life paths. Shakira, you're a five. I'm a four. Yeah, I did everybody. I was trying to figure out how to do numerology. Look it up. It helps you. It'll help you learn some stuff. Or you leave the stuff you don't need.
It's amazing.
Oh, man. You know what I'm loving right now? But also, it's so random. I had a crazy Uber ride. And so I get into the Uber. First off, the heat is on, but the windows are cracked because I think that's like COVID protocol. But it smells like a hot box. Like this man had
like weed smoking. Or
like weed. Okay. Like straight up.
Someone probably got in this car with a bunch of weed or had smoked.
No, because as he drove off.
Was he high?
He said, I like to drive and get high. It's very relaxing for me.
Excuse me, sir? While being employed by Uber?
Yeah. I didn't even know how to handle. I was like, what? He just told me he's high. And then I asked him, isn't it illegal? And he was like, no, I don't smoke while I'm driving. I pull over, of course.
I was going to say, I hope he should be pulling over and getting out and airing it out.
Letting his high come down for 5 hours.
No, you needed to deal with these people.
So that these people. Damn,
it's not safe. It's not safe. I'm just saying.
Then he said, oh, it's a little traffic on the 101. Hope I'm not going to make you late for a little date or nothing.
Oh, sir.
I'm just trying to kick it.
He wanted to see if you wanted some reefer as well.
I know. Well, he offered. He offered next. He said, I got some dank sativas, so,
And I'm like, I don't know, sir. I don't
think you do that with everybody. That's what I wonder when that kind of stuff happens. You just be asking everybody if they want to smoke with you.
Right? That's nasty, actually. Like,
it's during COVID?
In a pandemic.
You're not about to put your mouth on somebody's. I mean, somebody is out there putting their mouths on people's blunts, but I'm not. But I just was like, how the heck? And then he was playing trap music underneath. And when I say trap music, like the ones... they only use bitches and hoes. Like, as
love
the
it. Love play. It.
But I was highly entertained. I was like, this is a whole ass sketch.
How many stars you give him?
I didn't even rate him because I was like, I can tear him down or I can build him up. And I don't really know if I should do either because he was high.
Dang. That's,
that's the life of a mediocre Uber driver. Like, you didn't do great. You didn't do bad. So I'm just not going to respond.
I usually leave a 5-star, but I was like, this man just told me he's high.
Did he get you there safe, though?
He got me there safely.
He was unprofessional, but he got you there, and that's
he did get me there. And he had a BMW, which was also crazy. I walked up to the car, and I was like, ooh, I got a black car, and I ordered a regular one. And then I got in, and I said, I know why.
What about y'all? What y'all love and what y'all hate?
Ashley, I really resonate with what you were saying about, like, just connecting spiritually. I feel like at this period in my life, I've been receiving signs and just needing to like trust my intuition more and like listening to guides that are sort of around me. But one thing that I sort of hate about this process, aside from that it requires a lot of labor and like it's a little scary too, because you're like, am I communicating with the other side? But for my altar space, last night I was trying to light a candle and like present an offering. And I realized I didn't have anything that my dad liked or anything like that, aside from popcorn. So I have a bag of movie theater popcorn sitting out. And I'm like, what are you supposed to do with the food once you've offered it? You know what I mean? Like, how long are you supposed to leave it out? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm looking at this bag of popcorn right now. And I hate that it's just out. Like, what do you do? Do you guys know? Do you guys have altar spaces?
No, I don't have one. But my sister does, and she recently made an offering for my grandmother, and she burned the candle and left a bowl of, I believe it was apples and something else. And when the candle finished burning, she took it away.
Ah. Okay, yeah. I can get down with that. That sounds...
But I mean, what I like about all of those practices is that there's so much knowledge out there and you can find the answers of like what the ancient rituals were if you are so inclined.
When you describe the candle process, that kind of reminds me of like Catholic prayer and intention a bit. And like, that's a huge, like there's a perpetual candle burning at most churches. And like my mom volunteers to like watch the one at our church for an hour a week. But like basically to keep that prayer and intentions that have been put into that light going. So I feel like we always say, it's all under the same umbrella. Yeah.
And I do feel that. Kira sent me some meditation links earlier this week that were just like so spot on. So I've been exploring more and more what you were saying about it being connected. Because on the one hand, I'm listening to the meditation and like doing, you know, or like cleansing of some sort. And then I was playing gospel music. It was that connection to like God or spirit. And like all of it was like combined, you know, it didn't feel like it was separate from.
And I don't think it should. I think people like try to polarize religion versus spirit. No, it all really, I feel like what works for you is what you should practice. And if you want to light incense and listen to Kirk Franklin stomp and also put a sacrifice of apples, so be it.
sacrifice of apples.
Or an offering, I mean. But yeah, that's
dope.
Or
if you want to sacrifice some goats.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're in the Azalea Banks territory.
I know.
Wait, what?
Get some chicken in the closet and chop off the... Azalea Banks did that.
She did?
She's doing her best.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
feel like she's a derivative of my hate of this week. It's kind of a... I always am like, it's kind of a love, but it is. It's like a hatred of a time, but I love that it's
not you mocking yourself. I just love this.
That's what is playing in my head most of the time. But all this recent stuff with like Britney Spears's New York Times documentary and then the article that Washington posted about Lindsay Lohan when she turned 18 and the way it was like, every guy in America has been waiting for her to turn 18.
No.
Like,
ew.
Just the way
there was a countdown for the Olsen twins.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like 20 years later, people are starting to examine the early 2000s. And it's just really interesting to me how sexualized the girls that we grew up, like Britney Spears' midriff, like that was like a thing.
Yeah.
Just the early 2000s midriff in general, you know, you're talking about the low cut jeans.
Yeah.
And I was watching a TikTok and they were just talking about how the outfits were not what was on display in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It was little baby tees and mm-hmm. barely there show your thong jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really like you showing off that you were size 0 or a size 2, hopefully.
Also that like the beauty at that time was like Paris Hilton's Dick mm-hmm. Skinny, who she, I believe, is naturally like that. But that is not how most
of them
weren't.
And we saw what happened to Lindsay Lohan. Mm-hmm. I know.
You're right.
And also, too, just like the, I mean, women have been sexualized forever in this, you know, climate. But it is really gross. Like when you watch that Britney Spears interview and it's like everybody's talking about your boobs and she's like 16.
And your virginity.
That was the huge thing. Like, are you a virgin?
Justin Timberlake is trash. I haven't liked him for a while, but the New York Times really gave me some fire.
Wait, what happened? Yeah. What did
Jasmine,
you do?
You have to watch it.
Watch the documentary.
I thought I would be like depressed, but I was more like enlightened and empowered than like, yeah. But it is a little like, oh shit, we all played a part in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Moore said it best. Why don't you just leave her alone?
Yeah, he did. Yep. When they thought he was crazy alone. For yep. all of his documentaries, they, you know? Wow.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm like, I want to go watch this documentary.
It's on Hulu. It's really good. It's only an hour.
Dare I say Michael Moore was woke?
Michael Moore been woke.
He really dropping gems. Not everything is for you, but he dropping some gems.
Yeah, he really was.
I saw in someone's story, like, I guess someone made a neon sign that said Free Britney and, like, mm-hmm. found a way to plug it in above a highway.
Yeah.
Like, you saw it too?
Yeah, I saw that on Instagram.
I was like, who did this? That's
watch the documentary, and there's a whole political mm-hmm. action committee who is...
What?
They're organized.
They're organized.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I will say, I thought the documentary felt a little biased for it to be the New York Times. Like, it felt like only people who hate Jamie Spears. Y'all couldn't find one person who said why, you know, the other perspective.
It was totally
usually
biased.
Usually more credible than that.
Yeah, that's true. I think also the title sort of gave you an idea of the angle, though, framing Britney Spears. So it was mm-hmm. like, we framed her to be this irrational, wild, you know, unstable woman who actually was just a woman who was dealing with postpartum depression after giving birth to children, dealing with being harassed by paparazzi so constantly that she couldn't even just eat anywhere. Like, she couldn't
And I never
live.
Heard those words that she said. Like, I just don't want to be touched. Like, that's so telling. Like, the bitch, she was going through something. I just don't want to be touched.
Touch me. If I would have had an anxiety. I would have mm-hmm. had a huge anxiety.
Been more than an umbrella into a car. And been more than that.
You would have caught these hands.
I mean, but like, it's real. Ashley is not a hugger, guys. And I'd always be like, Ashley, hug. And like, I thought
to a
pre-pandemic.
Because I thought that people who think non-huggers don't want to hug, it's like, you're broken. Or like, you want this, but you don't know that you want it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Yasmin.
I saw this thing that was like, when you hug someone, you like transfer stuff, like transfer mm-hmm. energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand that lesson literally until I hugged someone in peril and like, I literally was like, and my position on hugs has changed forevermore. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give nobody no hugs anymore. I don't want anyone to touch me. I know, it's kind of
awful.
It
has to mean something.
Yeah.
You have mm-hmm. to know the person. We going to bump bodies? How does that
sound? And chests.
Strangers?
Boom.
Yeah. And I'm tall, so you all up in my titties? Get out of here.
My face has definitely been in Ashley's titties before. I feel like every time I've hugged you, it's like a close call.
Mommy, you're usually a cheek to the tit.
Yeah, because I know what it is. I don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Don't go face in. That's not right, guys.
Oh, man. I do think the whole hug, like when you greet people, oh, I just saw you yesterday, I'm hugging again. Like, it's a little exhausting sometimes. And COVID thankfully has changed that.
Thank
it
truly God has. For COVID. Thank
I'm
God.
A believer.
Oh, sorry. COVID, I don't even do handshakes.
Like, ooh, put the elbow out right away.
Right?
I don't even do that. I stay away. I'm like, oh, hey, good to see you. I clap
my
own
hands.
I
smile through my mask and realize later on you didn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of things that we wanted to do that we didn't think we could, I am now a non-hugger. That is a new dream of mine. But we all have something that we've wanted and didn't think could happen, or worse, we're discouraged from trying to do. So the question is, how do we start living for us and chase the thing that we want most that makes us come alive? From a career in entertainment to moving abroad, what are the tools that we can equip ourselves with to say, fuck the haters, and do what we want? But before we jump into it, y'all, first, a quick little break-ski.
Welcome back, y'all. It's time for us to get into this main conversation. So let's do it. How did you guys identify your dreams or your purpose?
I feel like for me, it was sort of like a passion I had as a child. And also, you know, I had support in my family in regards to like wanting to sign up for dance classes and acting classes and doing all of that in Baltimore was great, but I always knew I wanted to really pursue it. So I don't know if I ever had like that light bulb moment. I feel like it was something that, you know, like I feel
kind
like some
been
people
doing
have been
doing it
bulb
forever. Like you've just
say, you kind of have the dream scenario that people want where they're like, I've known since I was four. I came out tap dancing, you know, like
I think, out the womb.
I think that people get stuck on that. Like if I didn't know when I was four, then then it's not my purpose, you know.
Mm. Or like you have the notion and then it's silenced, like most people. Like you were encouraged and supported to continue pursuing that innate thing that you had. Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like there's a difference even with my dreams and like purpose. Like I do find like I do want part of my mission in life to leave a legacy and inspire other women, you know, like mm-hmm. me to follow their dreams and feel the strength to do that. But also, I mean, some of my purpose in this life is to enjoy it. So pull out the fun. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta enjoy all
I was
the
literally blaring Sheryl Crow's All I Wanna Do right before recording. So I was just like, all I wanna do is have some fun. I deeply resonate with that.
Just go on Santa Monica Boulevard. That's like what I know to be. Like, that's where I was introduced to Santa Monica Boulevard. It's really long, but Cheryl doesn't tell you that in the song. Anyway.
She does not.
I feel like for me, it has been like, as I acquire skills, I realize like, oh, you really like when I was in school and I really liked reading and writing, I knew that I wanted to be a writer. So I thought that was my purpose. And then as I found comedy, I was like, oh, but you like making people laugh. So add that to your, you know, your purpose of writing comedy and then, you know, performing. So I think like, I just like to acquire skills. What makes me feel in the flow? What makes me feel like I am doing good? Mm-hmm. And then I just add it to my bag of, this probably is part of your purpose. And every now and then I'll put the pieces together and I'm like, okay, so you're supposed to create ideas and you're supposed to evoke thought. Okay, all right, you want to be of service because you're a nurturer. So I think acquiring skills, making sure you're keeping note of what those things are mm-hmm. and, you know, pulling them out every now and then, seeing how they fit together.
I think that's really sound. Similarly, I feel like it was a different path. Like I was on a path to do something that I felt would make my family proud. I, like you, Shakira, was in the arts since I was little, but it just I didn't have the like, this is a realistic career path for you side of it. So I kind of like put that on the wayside and was like, politics is where I can, you know, kind of combine speech and like all of those kind of things with like mm-hmm. doing good in the world, which is something that is still like one of my core values. And, you know, The Hill was not what it's cracked up to be. I learned after 4 years there that like I would, on the other side, I made people laugh and people would like tell me I'm funny and all of these things. And I was like, well, if I'm going to move to LA to try to do anything, I might as well try. People have said, like, I didn't believe it for myself at the time yet, but mm-hmm. like people have said, you're funny. So audition at the Groundlings. That's where Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig went. And that was probably the first indicator of like auditioning and not having to take classes or whatever mm-hmm. was the first thing of like, validation towards me as an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just kept following what I wanted. Yeah, like yeah. what I love to do and what I stupid shit that I do when we hang out. Some, you know, like those are yeah. the things that are like innate to me. And like instead of being like, that's not realistic, like figuring out how to make those things real yeah. or like capitalize on the talent that I have and not like being shying away from it, which
yeah,
I did that for a long time.
I remember being like in a, like my first poem, my first play were both in the eighth grade. And I knew I really loved acting. I really loved poetry or writing. But like I got to high school and growing up in LA, everybody's in entertainment. So I was like, that's not realistic. And what you were saying, Mamiya, like I literally was like, that's not realistic. And I was like, I'm going to be a veterinarian because I love animals. And like going down that path. And like we're interning at a vet hospital, interning at like Lab Animal Medicine Resource Center at City of Hope. I was just like, I'm not trying to be in nobody's lab or like put dogs down.
Just petting puppies all day.
Like, right?
What
like,
you might have thought it was.
I'll just pet puppies all day. Like,
and I was having a great time. And then I was like, oh, that animal is dead now.
Oh, no.
No.
Sorry, guys. But like, I feel like I discouraged myself early on. But it was also something that kept coming back up.
I went to acting school, but I didn't fully know. I didn't do comedy then. And then I got into improv and I was like, oh, this is fun. This feels like mm-hmm. it's taking a little pressure off of the seriousness of trying to have a career in an industry that is very hard to have a career in. And it also led to me pushing myself in areas like I took a writing class at AMDA, but I didn't push myself as hard. Like I just started, it sort of like tumbleweeded into like more things in this field, but like I definitely expanded over time and picked up skills like, oh, this is the third web series that you've produced and directed and written. Maybe you should try to do more of that. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. one thing led to another. I just like the idea of like, if it's bringing you joy, maybe yeah. lean into it. Mm-hmm. And you, I mean, and also don't go in it thinking you're just about to be rich and famous because Lord knows.
I think like a rule of thumb of chasing your dreams is there are no time limits, there are no age requirements or mm-hmm. cutoffs to do anything. And I think that's also a huge mm-hmm. thing to understand. Like, we don't know how things are going to fall into place.
Mm-hmm. No, it really is a marathon. It's not a sprint. I mm-hmm. would say that to anybody. I know Nipsey said it, but I used to say it too before.
So what are some of the dreams that you guys are like really proud of or that you've accomplished so far? Have any of your wildest dreams come true? What did it feel like?
I haven't had wildest dreams because my dreams are wild. They did. But I think like Mamiya, you were talking about, you know, being affirmed and going to Groundlings and, you know, moving through that process. I feel like I came to LA thinking, I'm going to chase opportunity and sunshine, whatever that opportunity looks like, whatever comes about. And I knew that I liked writing and I had taken one improv class. And I was just like, I got my first laugh and I was like, maybe I have talent and maybe I could like hone this. And then going to UCB, like seeing people who I thought were really, really funny and believing that I could do it and then doing it. Like, and not in a, you know, this feels like a brag, but not just doing it. Like, I really just walked up in there. I really just, like, did not finish the program, did not know what a Herald team was a year before. And I made it. And I was just like, oh, like this was the universe saying, you're on your path. Like, why are you playing around like you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
You know when the universe is speaking to you because you feel it. You feel like just...
It's like you were like beauty school dropout, that scene yeah. that like literally yeah. ushered into on the stage, mm-hmm. which is like, hello, you. This is your space. Welcome yeah. in.
Yeah, when you feel like I was in the pocket. So I was really mm-hmm. proud of just moving across the country and deciding to bet on myself and feeling affirmed in, oh, girl, good bet.
Yeah.
That's dope.
I feel like those little moments are like to be celebrated, you know, or like big moments, but like to be like when you're feeling something. I was listening in this clubhouse the other day and they were talking about like savoring that moment of like, I've accomplished this thing and it's happening. And I'm so like, I live for those moments of like, yes, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
I remember when we got our Comedy Central deal and we were with Lucia and Paul, who are like EPs of our show and everything. Shout out to Broad City. And Paul was like, you have to say, like, I don't know if he used the word savor, but he was like, you need to celebrate every yes on your pitch doc that you just sent mm-hmm. or like, yeah, no notes. Like, celebrate all those little steps because how hard we work to even get to the place, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be like so focused on the work that you're not looking up like, oh, I didn't think I would be here someday and I'm standing here.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think, yeah, definitely just sitting in that gratitude and like try to remember like the first time something happened, like the first co-star or small role I booked was The Gambler. And I remember like being that giddy girl on set asking Mark Wahlberg for a picture and being like, I'm here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember just being so overjoyed. And like, then, you know, other things happened and you feel that joy. But then, like, if you remember that spark of like when you got that one little step and celebrate all the wins with that level of gratitude, it just makes them so much better because. I mean, and of course you can't like try to duplicate the level of joy you had from your first job. But like, I do highly recommend and agree with you guys in regards to really sitting in the joy and savoring it.
Yeah. I feel like it's so, especially in LA, not everyone, but I run into a lot of people who are doing cool shit and just like flipping about it, don't care, don't want to be doing it. And it's like, make room for someone who would have so much fun doing this shit. Right. Then. Like, mm-hmm. if you can't be like, yo, I was on set today and I wrote this thing and it was like, why are you?
I felt that way like in the first sketch that I wrote, because I really was like, I'm just a poet and I'm just an actor. And like, taking a sketch class at UCB and writing that first sketch, I was like, oh, maybe I can write in other mediums. And like, I was just like, like seeing it put up on stage, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And you know what? I remember this moment, guys. We had a Black Girl Magic show and someone from BET came. I think it was BET. And then afterwards we went to, what was that club? Or the bar next
party.
Door.
A white girl.
What? Girl at the White Horse, yes.
Girl at the White Horse.
I just remember like feeling so giddy because I was like, yo, like we crushed it. We're doing the thing. Like we're on our fucking way. Like we're doing it.
Yeah. And also, I think that also has to lean into like, it's not complacent to still have joy even if you aren't fully at where you're trying to be. Like just because the journey's not complete, there's no completion in my mind. Like, I mean, death, that's the end. Like, why not have joy on every step rather than like when I really sell that thing and when I really get that thing.
Mm-hmm. And you just literally spoke life into me there. If we were in church, I would say, Sister Pei, thank you for the word. Because last year was really good in a crazy way career-wise. And I got opportunities to pitch shows and write my own shows and all that. And I feel like I'm really afraid of anyone knowing any of that because it's not on the air yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like finding a balance for me between what to share and what to not. But yeah, I pitch a show and it might become a show. Like that feels great.
Hell yeah.
And Sony basically optioned it. So now I just need to find the home for it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Girl, go.
Appreciate you all. But again, that's I only think that's possible because, which kind of brings us to our next point of like, what are setbacks you've experienced along the way? And I know that I've told you guys about this speech that Ava DuVernay gave. It was her Film Independent address in 2013. If you Google it, it's on there. And when I listened to that, that just changed my whole perspective of like, you say you want XYZ, how do you make it happen? Like, what are the actionable steps? Instead of all the thoughts, and then you see what other people are doing and compare yourself and blah, blah. Like, I used to spend a lot of time doing that instead of like sitting down and writing the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that was one of my biggest blocks on my journey is like caring too much about the outside instead of like who I am at my core and what I'm here for.
Did she say anything about the code of desperation?
Yes,
in that
the code of desperation speech.
Do you know how much that stuck with me too?
Oh, really?
That like, yeah. I literally remember the only thing that I remember from that Film Independent speech was her talking about this code of desperation. And I definitely, in terms of setbacks, like self-doubt is the biggest one for me because I am like often like, oh, I want, you know, that people to like approve it. And it's like, it's not about what other people are doing. Like, it's not about comparing yourself to other folks, about anyone else fully understanding like where you're at, because someone somewhere is going to resonate. But regardless, like being happy with the stuff that you have to produce, the stories that you're called to tell, the things that you're called to do, like that only you can do. And I think when you get to that space of knowing like, this is what I'm here to do, and I feel real good and comfortable in the pursuit of what I need to do, and listening and trusting yourself, that code of desperation is not there anymore. You know what I mean? It's like knowing that I have value. I bring value to this earth, to this planet, to the people in my community, you know?
And I love that she says you can smell it. Like, not yes. literally, but figuratively.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can smell it. You can smell it for real. It stinks.
Yeah.
It smells musky.
Yeah.
It's like, and wet.
It's so true, though. Because you want it so bad, and you're like, oh, I'm going to, like, I can fit into this box. Look, I can fit in this box. And it's like, you got your own shit that you got to focus on. And when you're in that, when you're in your fucking lane.
That's your lane.
No one else can touch it.
I was going to prompt. If you don't mind, I just think as an actress, the things that you've been through, Shakira, have been really interesting too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, setbacks. I don't even know if these are setbacks, more so like lessons in patience. Because Lord knows I've been pinned and at a chemistry read. Or I mean, shoot, I had a table read, y'all. I think I told y'all with Brittany Snow. And like, I was that close at the table read. And then they're like, guess what? We're cutting your role. You know, God. I mean, I booked jobs and I got a call at 6 a.m. like, oh, actually, we cut the role last night, so don't show up to set. Like, in this industry, SAG actors book 3% on average of their jobs. So out of 100 jobs, you book 3. That's just a random stat. Some people, you know, be auditioning and book 7 to 10, you know. Good for them. So just like even knowing that it's a numbers game in that way. I mean, I think if anything, it's humbled me and calmed me in a very long and tedious way that I wish it hasn't had to. But, you know, I do think every setback is just like a grounding moment where you're like, all right. And it does break your heart sometimes. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, there have been jobs where I'm like, whew, I really want this. Oh, I would, you know, how do you manifest this? How do I figure out, you know, how can I make this happen? But, you know, what's right for you is right for you. And I do feel like I've had wonderful wins. Like, All Day and a Night was, you know, my biggest role so far. And that was a great opportunity to, like, really act and, like, really dig into a character and, like, you know, do what I've been doing in you know, these little 5x4 rooms with these casting directors. You know?
I like what you said about setbacks being grounding moments. And I think some of my biggest setbacks have been just like not following my instinct. I have really good instincts, but one of my superpowers is also logic, and they fight against each other because you can't explain instinct. It's a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's a knowing without knowing. And my instinct will say, hey, bitch, you don't like this shit. Don't do this no more, you know? And they say, well, hey, everyone really likes this. And I'm specifically thinking about being on that UCB team. I wanted to make it just to stroke my ego and say I made it. And then when it was come time to like be a part of the team, I was like, I don't really want to do this part. But everyone loves this position.
Yeah.
I should really enjoy this. And so instead of listening to myself, I forced myself to be a part of this thing for 2 years. And it was, you know, I learned things and, it, you know, it's part of my journey that I still take lessons from. But when I did let go of it, I made room for other things that were better for me, you know? And instead of being like, oh, I should have done it sooner, I think about, well, look at your instinct was right. So you might want to trust it next time when it tells you something's off or, you know, this energy ain't right. Whatever it is, trusting my instincts.
Yeah. And you have really good instincts, Ash. I do feel like you're very connected in that way. I mean, after you told us that story about walking out and finding that wallet, I said, ooh, this girl know how to manifest.
What wallet?
It was, I was my first apartment. I was working hard. I had like two jobs, but I wasn't making rent. And I was just like, I need money. I just need a few more dollars. I need a few more dollars. And I was walking from my job. And there was a wallet.
But you said, you were like, I'm probably going to find a wallet.
I literally, when I saw it, I said, I manifested that shit. Like, I really felt it. And then I couldn't tell anyone because I was like, it's wrong to take this wallet. But literally, the universe plopped it in front of me for this reason.
Wow, that is manifesting.
Yeah, I should have thought bigger.
So what tools do you guys use to manifest your dreams?
When I think about like how we've gotten here, the idea of like manifestation is so, I'd say it was like a game changer for me. Saying the affirmation, writing down explicitly, this is the thing I want. Ashley, I love that you're like, I should have dreamed bigger, like, or I should have affirmed something more. Like, you know, I definitely feel like this podcast is an example of that. Like putting, I remember years ago putting a picture of us. Actually, I have the framed photo, Mamiya, that you gave us. With our little sticker card in it of like this first photo shoot of us. But I put this picture on our vision board right next to a picture of Shonda Rhimes underneath the caption, like mentor. And granted, we have yet to meet Shonda. We will. We will, right? Right, Shonda?
Yeah.
But like this, I definitely see it as like a manifestation of like wanting to be in her orbit somehow. And then this podcast, you know what I mean? And it's, I see it like with all the other facets of my life of like, you write it down, you say it out loud, you release it, you do a vision board, but the writing it down and like being very clear about the thing that you want and in what way. And then the universe provides and I'm like, oh.
Yo, the clearness is the shit that messes me up because I'd be trying to be so clear that it's goddamn 8 years long of, you know, my clear manifestation.
Definitely for me, in terms of like, obviously I spiritually think about the thing and like kind of like envision how I want things to be and then try to write actionable steps to making certain things happen, like what I can control. I can't control my dream man who's on his way. I don't know when he's going to get here, but I can control like making sure I finish this act of a script that I am writing or like sitting down and focusing instead of like taking a week to do something that would only take me an hour if I just like sit down and do it. So I think it's a combination of being realistic with yourself about your abilities and then diving into that.
What you were saying about like taking a step towards your dreams is like so critical. Like once you see the thing that you want, it's like, okay, let me like, now that I have that vision, like I feel like my mom always said, like you take a step, the universe takes a step with you. You know, like that action, that thing that you put forward to make your vision come true moves you closer and closer.
Yeah, I think also one of the steps I take is like, I feel like I'm co-creating with the universe and God and all of the energy I feel. But I'm also like surrendering to the fact that there are a lot of things out of my control. So I can put all this out there, but I also have to just be patient and surrender to the process of it. And I do agree, like specificity is important, but sometimes, you know, it's so funny. When I got All Day and Night, I was up for Awkwafina and I had just had a producer session with Lucia and I wanted that so bad. And then I find out that the black girl that they had in it turned into a guest star. And then she wasn't series regular anymore. And it went to a girl who I know who's been, you know, out here hustling. But also that was like a very telling thing. Like I wanted something too, like I was clinging to it that I couldn't let it just happen. I was so, like I was putting energy, I don't know, like too heavily on a thing, like choking the life out of the thing that you want. It's like the difference between getting it and not getting it, you know? Like, I feel like there's that level of like, I believe this thing is going to happen and I said it and now I got to trust the process.
It seems like when we force versus when we live with ease, like ease is like everything we've been talking about. What can you control versus what you can't? You can try to grind something down that it like, it takes all every blood, sweat and tear, like, you know, versus the things that flow in time when you put your energy towards something.
It's interesting that you're talking about ease because I've been learning about the brain recently and just like your mind, what's constantly running for most people, is supposed to be empty. It's supposed to be the chamber for your heart to receive a message, for your heart to send your mind a message and for you to receive it, for you to take in the genius that the universe is giving you and receive it, and not for you to try to be manifest in some thoughts. Like, that's not what your mind is for. If you are going to use your mind in this way where you have constant thoughts, something that I've been learning about is using it in the positive. Shakira, you always talk about those same thoughts that you think about all the time, like you got to be intentional about what those thoughts are. So you always find yourself going somewhere to a place maybe that's negative that you don't like. You got to recreate that thought and put it into where do you want to see yourself? What is the life that you want to have? Live there in your mind. So like when I go somewhere negative, I start singing a song, bitch, you on a beach, you got money. Like, I really am just like trying to make my mind intake this good stuff.
Quite literally that, like that choice, which when you hear it's a choice to be happy, blah, blah, blah. Like in theory, that's like, what are you talking about? But no, there are a lot of negative forces in this world and they're easier to take over you than like the positive ones. We remember things that hurt more than the most amazing moments, you know?
And it's almost glorified, I think, being kind of a nasty bitch, right? You know, like that nasty bitch attitude.
The positive affirmation part of like, this is the thing that I want. Like, it's easy to be like, man, I'm not trying to do this thing or that, or like, but being like, this is the thing in a positive way.
I was just going to say, I think it's a choice and a practice. It's not easy. Like our subconscious is 95% of our thoughts and it's so easy to cycle. That shit is strong. You'll be talking about that fight you about to have. Like, I'm a man, I should have told her. And then you're like, why am I thinking about this? It's not paying no rent. It's taking up a ton of space in my head. So like, it's
and you get an energy to whatever you're thinking about. So if you don't want it to happen, stop thinking about that shit.
And you know, one thing that stuck with me, I think Abraham Hicks said it, is like, stop fighting for your limitations. It's so
I heard that on Elizabeth Gilbert. Big Magic. She said that.
Oh, maybe
you
maybe.
Argue for your limitations. You keep them, baby.
Ew. So that is not cute.
And it's still do it all the time.
I know. I'm just like in hearing it. In
but I can't do it because so-and-so.
Okay. You can't. Girl. You can't, actually.
But you just said it.
Like, and you said the thing. You cannot do it.
Can't is not in a man's vocabulary. Why? Because when you say can't, you ain't a man.
Okay, wait, what is that?
What
from
is that
guys?
From?
Love and Basketball.
Oh, damn. Sorry, Gina.
We love you, Gina.
So wait, are there things along the way? Like, do you feel like you've sacrificed anything in the pursuit of your dreams?
Hell yeah.
Hell to the
Happiness. I'm just kidding. But actually, no, I'm not. I think moving to LA is like, I am not near my core people that I have soul connections with. And that was a struggle for definitely the first 8 of my 9 years there. But
yeah, you
trying to like stay grounded and true to who I am as a person around a lot of different energies that might not have the same intentions as me. That was like...
And people who don't know you from before.
Exactly. Or not don't understand who you are as a person, like, mm-hmm. could misinterpret what you say because they don't know that you're mm-hmm. coming from a good place, always. At least I am.
Yeah.
And that was really difficult for me. And a sacrifice of, like, being away from just a actual presence of a body that I know knows me and loves me.
Mm. When you moved to LA, did you know it was going to be that hard?
I was really afraid of LA for a long time until it was demystified. And then it, like, eased into being hard. Like, I was very idealistic at first and, like, oh, this isn't so bad. I got in Groundlings. This is easy, like, type of vibe. But then, you know, you start working and you start collaborating and then you run into people with other agendas. And, like, that I had to learn, like, just because you want something doesn't mean everybody else wants that. Or, like, because you see something yeah. a certain way doesn't mean, like my mom says, everybody didn't grow up in your house. Like, that was a lesson I had to learn. So, mm-hmm. no, I definitely didn't think it would be as toxic as it is or understand the way that it was toxic because it's very specific.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking more like the like not being close to those people you have soul connections to.
Oh.
Because I didn't realize how tough it was going to be for me to not be with my family. Like, I had already moved away. Like, I was 2 hours away. So it felt like, why would LA be that different? But mm-hmm. it was like, I didn't know, you know, I always joke, I didn't know where the hair store was. That was a big problem for me. Like, I do my hair often. It's a part of how I get out feelings and how I de-stress. And yeah. I couldn't find anything. And it was just like, why the fuck did I come here? I don't know where anything is. I don't have any family. Like, I was yeah. on a couch for 5 months, like, until I found comedy. And I was like, oh, you got purpose. You're supposed to be here. You know, there's mm-hmm. reason. But man, that first 5 months of sacrificing comfort, I think that's my probably the biggest comfort. Yeah. The thing is I sacrifice is comfort. Moving into my car, moving, you know, all that.
I think, yeah, like moving here, you gonna miss holidays. You gonna miss family trips. I mean, there are things, I don't have a ton of regrets, but I do know there was a family trip that I wish I had risk and spent money on because, like, it was the last one with a relative. Like, there are things that you got to decide because on top of coming out here to pursue your dreams, unless you come from money, you don't have no money. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I couldn't go home for Christmas 1 year. I had a whole mental breakdown. When I first moved to LA, I didn't have my car. So I had to, like, save up enough money to get it shipped here. So I was walking. And LA ain't no city to walk in. If you ever move here, let me tell you right now.
These long-ass blocks.
Right? I was walking and riding a bike. And I lived up a hill. So I would always have to push the bike up the hill at
Ashley's
the
end. Ashley's face just made
well, only because she said she was walking and riding the bike. So
please tell your kids that and we will confirm
but that's
it.
The thing. Have you ever tried to bike up Barham? That shit's impossible.
That shit is impossible. And then I had a living room. We had a two-bedroom and two girls shared one room. One girl shared another room and I had the living room space. I had no privacy. I mean, and granted, I moved out here at 19. So being broke at that age is usually normal.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I'm also far as hell from my family. Like before I used to just go home and my mom could do my hair. My weave was so bad, y'all. My weave would get matted in chunks because it was in my head. It was so long because I couldn't afford to like do anything. And I remember being like, why did I move here?
For me, it was like the poverty part. I didn't realize like, or maybe, I mean, it's just like, I was broke for a very, 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 very long time. And it was like, I can either take a job, like a desk job or some sort of survival job that will pay the bills and will allow for me to go to brunch and hang out with friends and do the things that they're doing. And I do feel really, you know, grateful, blessed, lucky that my family was here and most of my friends, like I have a very strong support system here. You know, and LA is home, so it's not the same sort of, I guess, isolation. But everyone else, like, I specifically think about, like, Kira, you're talking about trips, you're talking about brunches, like, people gathering, and I'm like, oh, I'll have the water. Like, no, I'm gonna pass because I can't afford it, you know? Like, or being like, how am I going to pay rent? Like, how am I going to get by? How am I going to feed myself? Yeah. But you know.
And you do have to work those. I mean, I did. I worked as a server for 8 years. So, you know,
I was a hostess and a slave and a nanny. I did it all. I was hired as an assistant and turned into a nanny, child caregiver. Like, it's just, just like, but the goal was always in the horizon.
Yeah, it's part of the sacrifice, I feel like. You know, you got to do that work you don't like with them kids. Mm-hmm. Fucking wait, what do you call them? Patrons.
Those customers.
Customers.
The restaurant guests.
We don't have customers. We have guests.
They're in our home.
And people come in there hangry. Okay, last cue. Knowing now about the journey, what you know, if you could go back in time and tell your former self anything, what would you say?
You got it, boo. That's it. I would say you got it, boo. Stop doubting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Similarly, trust your gut, girl. It's going to lead you the right way every time.
Y'all know I have a quote. Hey. Alice Walker said in The Color Purple, she said, "I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. What'd it do when it pissed off?" I asked. "Oh, it makes something else. People think pleasing God is all God care about, but any fool living in the world can see it always trying to please us back." And like, I think I would tell myself, like, you are possible. You can do the shit that you want to do. Like, you don't have to, like, conform into other people's visions for you. Like, God wants you to be joyful. God, like, spirit, universe, like, you're here to enjoy this life. And it's okay mm-hmm. to do that and to mm-hmm. notice the small things along the way.
Yes. I would just say, enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Don't stress so much and do the work. Continue. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like I do the work, but, you know, to younger self, like, hey, it's not exactly how you think. It's not going to take a year to come out here and become a series regular is what I thought was going to happen. But also,
you like, really thought that, Kira?
I really did, y'all. I really did. I finished school and I was like, I'm going to be on TV.
I mean, you know, that might have also had a hand in where you are today. So,
yep. No, I don't regret anything. I do feel like everything has gotten me here, and I love where I am, and I love the skin I'm in, and also loving on yourself along the way. I do feel like you can get out here and get sucked up, and even in regards to body, what's you're supposed to look like on camera and all of that bull crap. And it used to take up way too much space in my mind. Like, who gives a damn, you know? Jobs that are meant for you are going to be for you.
Truly.
Okay, so to all y'all out there who out there wanting to chase your dreams, chase them. Run fast.
With abandon.
Run like somebody is chasing you.
Run like FloJo.
Mm-hmm.
With style and grace.
That was actually a train. But I think I can.
Okay, okay. We believe in you, y'all. Go ahead and get what you want.
Yeah. You only got this one life.
Only one.
That's it.
Unless you believe in reincarnation.
I was like, until you, you know, get to the other side and then it's a new journey.
All right, y'all. It's time for us to give some advice. But first, we're going to take a break. Welcome back. It's time for us to give a listener some advice. Mamia, what do you have for us?
All right, today's letter reads, "Dear OOD, do you believe in ghosts? I feel like there's a presence in my house and I can't seem to shake it. I've burned some sage and played Jhené Aiko's trigger protection mantra, but what should I do next? The ghost ain't paying rent and my electricity bill is too damn high to be keeping these lights on all night, every night. Help." Signed, Casper, you better move on.
Ooh. I don't know.
That's territory. We had the Ghostbusters, so.
Call Leslie Jones.
Kate McKinnon, if you can get her.
I mean, I think you should contact somebody who deals with that kind of stuff if you truly feel, because ghosts ain't something to play with.
Call on Jesus, honey.
That's what you should call.
Yeah, I will say, yes, I believe in ghosts, though.
Oh, I just believe in ghosts. Yeah, I mean, okay, here's some. You know, when I first moved to my apartment, we had the discussion that maybe I had a ghost. So I got some black tourmaline. It is a protection and good energy crystal. It's supposed to just like get out any spirits that you don't want. So I got some of that. Also, you can burn that sage, girl.
What is Jhené Aiko's trigger protection mantra?
I don't get that.
Is that a song?
It's a song. It's a sound bath style song with her like,
calm down.
That sounds beautiful.
Relax.
Like, I don't like people telling me what to do.
Yeah, I think what Ashley said, like find someone who can help you with that, like maybe helping you cleanse the space or, you know, say some prayers, like you call on the ancestors, call on God.
Also, keeping the lights on ain't really going to do nothing. If the ghost want to get you, he gets you in the dark or the light, for real. In fact, you're probably helping him see you better.
Also, they might not want anything bad. I mean, somebody told me to do a deep meditation and ask them directly, what do you want? But that's a real connection shit. If you're ready to be confronted by that ghost. Yeah.
I did hear someone say, you just have to say, if there are any dark spirits here, I want you to leave.
Yep.
Something like vampires. Like they
tell them to leave.
I don't know. But who knows what's real and what's not? In that case, I haven't had to eradicate a ghost.
Yeah, from my experience, I put flowers out on my front. That was one thing I was told to do. I was told that the sage wasn't working quite well. Then I got the black tourmaline.
Who came and read your house, Kira?
Nobody. Somebody I used to hang out with got a reading, and the person described my house and was like, so yeah, you have a friend who's been burning sage to try to get rid of a ghost. She has wood floors and a gray door. And the friend was like, I know exactly who you're talking about. And then...
Yikes.
I know. And then the person she talked to recommended I put some fresh flowers out for them because they want like to go like they're gone for the most part. Like when I first came in, I was like, it's eerie in here. And I'm not gonna lie, a man did kill, he didn't kill himself. He died in this house. He had a blood clot thing happen and he didn't make it. But yes, I would just recommend, you know, doing some of that woo-woo stuff and praying and asking the spirit to leave. Just talking to it.
My mom said this thing that even applied for the dream thing, but she was like, my energy is my energy, your energy is your energy. So like whatever spirit, move on.
Martin ass, get the step.
And Ghostbusters number is 1-800-GHOST-GONE. You can call them and they will take care of this issue.
Can you repeat the number?
1-800-GHOST-GONE. That's G-H-O-S-T-S. Gone.
Gone. Okay.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Plural. Make sure you remember that.
Got it.
Ghost gone. We appreciate y'all tuning in. Remember to subscribe. If you want to show us some love, you can rate and review this podcast. 5 stars only, baby.
And of course, you can always come kiki with us on our social media pages. On Instagram, we're at Obama's Other Daughters. On Twitter, we're at OOD Improv. And on Facebook, we're at Obama's Other Daughters.
If you need some advice, like Casper, you better move on here. You know where to find us. Send your letters to oodpodcast@gmail.com and we're going to help you out.
We can't wait to see you next week, you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
You Down is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.